In his autobiography, Mahatma Gandhi wrote that during his student days, he read the gospel seriously and considered converting to Christianity. He believed that in Jesus, he could find the solution to the caste system and that was dividing the people of India. So one Sunday, he decided to attend services at a nearby church and speak to the minister after the service was over. When he entered the sanctuary, however, the usher refused to give him a seat and suggested that he go worship with his own people. Gandhi left the church and never returned. "If Christians have caste differences also," he said, "I might as well remain a Hindu." That usher's prejudice not only betrayed Jesus, but also turned a person away from trusting him as Savior. What a tragedy. What a tragedy that someone within the body of Christ, only because a certain person doesn't look like them, talk like them, have the same cultural standard as them, economic status as them, they turn them away. That's the issue of favoritism. And the issue is, not only does sometimes it turns people away from church, but just like Gandhi, it turned him away from the Lord Jesus Christ. Very serious. And that's what James is going to address in the passage of Scripture we're going to look at this morning. If you have your copy of God's Word, please turn with me to James chapter 2, verses 1 through 13. Now, you'll remember, we are in an in-depth study in the book of James. We literally went through every verse in the first chapter before I left, and we've been out a few weeks, and so let me remind you of what we looked at last time in our study of the book of James. Remember, we were finishing up James chapter 1, and we were in verses 21 through 27, which states, "Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with the meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away, and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. For if anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world." You remember we pointed out three specific things here, that we must be obedient to the Word because, number one, we have to accept the Word for salvation. We saw that in verse 21. And then secondly, we saw as Christians, we must respond to the Word. We saw that in verses 22 through 25. And then lastly, we saw that we must come under the Word. We as Christians are under the authority of the Word of God. And then that leads us to chapter 2, verses 1 through 13, where James is going to discuss the issue, the problem of favoritism. This is a lengthy passage, but please read along as I read aloud. Suppose a man comes into your meeting, verse 1. "My brothers and sisters, believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, must not show favoritism. Suppose a man comes into your meeting wearing a gold ring and fine clothes, and a poor man in filthy old clothes also comes in. If you show special attention to the man wearing fine clothes and say, 'Here's a good seat for you,' but say to the poor man, 'You stand there, sit on the floor by my feet,' have you not discriminated among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my dear brothers and sisters, has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom he promised those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor. Is it not the rich who are exploiting you? Are they not the ones who are dragging you into court? Are they not the ones who are blaspheming the noble name of him to whom you belong? If you really keep the royal law found in Scripture, love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing right. But if you show favoritism, you sin and are convicted by the law as lawbreakers. For whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking all of it. For he who said, you shall not commit adultery, also said, you shall not murder. If you do not commit adultery, but you do commit murder, you have become a lawbreaker. Speak and act as those who are going to be judged by the law that gives freedom. Because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Let's pray. Father, this morning speak boldly to us. Speak clearly to us, Lord. Father, show us the issue of favoritism and the problem that it brings. Father, remind us of the saving power of Jesus. Lord, in this sermon, I pray that your Spirit will speak clearly and articulate exactly what you have for us. Bring conviction and motivation in our lives where we need change. And it's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. This morning, I want to point out four things to you about the problem of favoritism that we see. Number one, jot this in on your outline. We are not to show favoritism. In no aspect of our life are we to show partiality. Look at verse 1. My brothers and sisters, believe in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, must not show favoritism. Now, by James saying, my brothers and sisters, he's making appeal to all fellow believers in the family of God. If this morning you have trusted in the Lord for your salvation, this is for you. No one within the body of Christ, fellow believers of Christ, should ever show favoritism. It should not be a part of our life. What's interesting about that word, favoritism, is it comes from a Greek word that literally means receiving the face. Receiving the face. And it was very interesting in the study this week for the sermon because that word was apparently invented by the New Testament writers. This was not an ancient word. It was a new word written by the New Testament writers, which literally, when it's rendered down, means partiality. We should not show any partiality in our life. And do you know what James was saying that they were showing partiality in their life because of? They were looking at other people's outward appearances and showing favoritism. So they were looking at the way people were dressed and presented themselves and probably their economic status, and they were making judgments about these people, and that is exactly what James is condemning. He's saying we should never show any type of favoritism or partiality to any group of people because of an outward experience, expression that they might show. James makes a wide range of prohibition here for that type of favoritism. And so, the application is very simple. You nor I should ever look at someone based on the color of skin, the type of clothes they wear, economic status. Nothing of that nature should ever play in our mind of how we view a person. Remember, Martin Luther King Jr. said it perfectly. A man is not judged a man is not judged by outward appearances. He's judged by the content of his character. And ladies and gentlemen, that's exactly what James is saying. We should never make a judgment about someone based on outward appearances. God prohibits that. And think about this. God himself looks at the heart of a person and not the outward appearances of that person. We see that time and time again all throughout Scripture. And as a child of God, in this respect, we should imitate God. We should never make a judgment based on someone on their outward appearances. Remember in Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 17 through 18, Moses reminded the Israelites of this: "For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who shows no partiality and accepts no bribes. He defends the cause of the fearless, the fatherless, and the widow, and loves the foreigner residing among you, giving them food and clothing." And then again in Leviticus chapter 19, verse 15, we read, "Do not pervert justice. Do not show partiality to the poor or favoritism to the great, but judge your neighbor fairly." There it is again. We are not to judge based on the outward appearances of someone, but we are to judge them fairly based on their character and what they do. So never at any time in our life should we show favoritism. But James goes on to show us and to illustrate this condemnation of favoritism that he's given. So the second point is this: James gives an illustration of the favoritism he's condemning. We see this in verses 2 through 4. "Suppose a man comes into your meeting wearing a gold ring and fine clothes, and a poor man in filthy clothes, filthy old clothes also comes in. If you show special attention to the man wearing fine clothes and say, 'Here's a good seat for you,' but say to the poor man, 'You stand there or sit on the floor by my feet,' have you not discriminated among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts?" Now, I want you to key in into that word meeting. You see it there, very first part of verse 2. Suppose a man comes into your meeting. Now, this meeting, this word can refer to two different types of meetings. Number one, it can refer to a gathering much like this in a synagogue in order to worship God. It's where a large group of people gather in order for worship. But it can also mean kind of like a private meeting where only two, three, or four are gathered. It can have those two different special type of meanings, but I want you to notice here, James includes a word that even talks about the gathering of worship of God. Never in this place should anyone, based on skin color or any other outward appearance, feel like they have been treated unfairly, had prejudice against them. James forbids that. We are never to show that type of favoritism or in any other type of meeting as well. But in this illustration, notice here that James gives two very clear distinctions of people. He gives a clear description of a rich man, and he gives a clear distinction of a poor man. Look, one is wearing a gold ring and fine clothes. Now, a gold ring in this time, it was an emblem that was worn to show a man's upper class in the Roman culture. So it was not a gold wedding band worn by many men today when they're married. It was a huge stamp that was usually worn on the right hand, just a huge golden ball, and it was worn for one purpose: to show that this man was an elite. He was in the upper of the upper class of the Roman culture, and that's why he wore this golden ring. And then you'll see that he wears fine clothes. Now that word fine refers to the brightening shiningness of the clothes. It's referred to as the angelic clothing in other parts of Scripture. So what's happening here is this man is wearing perfect clothes and this huge gold ring on his finger. And then, in stark contrast, James gives an illustration of another man. The other man is one who wears shabby clothes that James talks about here. The image that James is conjuring up is someone that we would refer to as being homeless today. So this man was probably wearing clothes that were stained, very smelly, probably nothing more than rags. And so you have these two very distinguished men from each other in the same meeting, and James says, to neither one of them should you show favoritism. Neither one of them gets anything greater than the other. The rich man is no greater in the eyes of God as the poor man. And the poor man is no greater in the eyes of God than the rich man. And therefore, even in this place, and in your everyday life, realize everyone is to be treated with respect, regardless of their economic status and their economic power, because everyone is made in the image of God. Their outward appearance should have no persuasiveness to us of any kind. What's interesting is that in many churches today, I was reading in preparation for this sermon, is that usually your social elites run the church, or so they say. And so these social elites get power, and then people say, well, I don't want to go to a church like this because it's only ran by those who are, you know, economically powerful. We should fight against that stigma. We should do whatever we can to prove that that's not what it is here at Southside, because it's not. We are never to show favoritism in that regard. But now number three, look at this. James gives an answer to this problem of favoritism. He gives an answer to the problem. Look at verses 5 through 9. Listen, my dear brothers and sisters. Has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom He promised those who love Him? But you have dishonored the poor. Is it not the rich who are exploiting you? Are they not the ones who are dragging you into court? Are they not the ones who are blaspheming the noble name of Him to whom you belong? If you really keep the royal law found in Scripture, love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing right. But if you show favoritism, you sin and are convicted by the law as lawbreakers. Let me just summarize this really quick for you. Put this in. The answer is to have compassion for everyone. The medicine to heal this problem of favoritism is to condition your mind to have compassion for everyone. As I was studying for this sermon Monday evening, I was sitting there on the couch, and as I was preparing for this, I was thinking, how do we condition our mind to not have certain prejudice towards certain people? Let me give you three things that I believe helps with that. Just jot these down somewhere on your outline. Three things that will help us have compassion on everyone. Number one, all people are made in the image of God. All people are made in the image of God. Listen to Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. So God created mankind in His own image. In the image of God, He created them. Male and female, He created them. Realize, ladies and gentlemen, everyone, even yourself, is imprinted with the image of God. He's the one who formed you. He's the one who breathed life into you. And because of that, you are made in the image of God. Now, sin has scarred that image. Unfortunately, sin has scarred that image tremendously. But it doesn't erase it. Everyone is made in the image of God. Even those we have a hard time identifying with are made in the image of God. Number two, ask yourself this question. How would Jesus view this person? How would Jesus view this person? Now, you remember all the stories of the Gospels. The lame and the sick would come running to Jesus. Those that the social class would probably find as a cast out. They would come running to Jesus, and what would happen? Jesus would meet their needs. He would heal them of their sickness. He would comfort them in times of despair. And as followers of Jesus, and as followers of His example, We should try to do the same thing in meeting those needs of people that we see is not as blessed as us or maybe are in deep sickness. We should do whatever we can to show them the love of Christ. So when you're struggling to not have a prejudice against a certain group of people or someone, remember, they are made in the image of God. Jesus has compassion for them. And thirdly, God wants a relationship with every human being. God wants a relationship with every human being. Listen to 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 through 4. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. The fact of the matter is, these three statements here will start to condition the mind. I have no room to have prejudice against anybody because God the Father has no prejudice towards anybody. And it will help to start having compassion on everyone. You know, regardless of what some people say about this church, or say about me, or say about the Christian faith in particular, we are showing no prejudice whatsoever or favoritism when we speak against cultural issues. Realize that is a function of the church. This is the most powerful institution on the face of the earth. And we have a God-called responsibility to speak into the culture and to show that we believe what we truly believe that Scripture says. And so when we speak against things as transgenderism, homosexuality, abortion, we are not outcasting people and saying you are not welcome here. We welcome people of all faiths. We welcome people of all sexual orientations because they were like we once were, in need of a Savior. And we want them to come to salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. But we are not going to forfeit the responsibility we have in speaking truth. That's the deal. And that is not showing favoritism at all or outcasting a group of people. It is telling the truth. Fourth and lastly, favoritism is a serious sin. Favoritism is a serious sin. Look at verses 10 through 13. For whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking all of it. For he who said, "You shall not commit adultery," also said, "You shall not commit murder." If you do not commit adultery but do commit murder, you have become a lawbreaker. Speak and act as those who are going to be judged by the law that gives freedom. Because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Realize, ladies and gentlemen, James was very aware that some people would just kind of throw off this offense of favoritism because, after all, it's not as bad as adultery or murder. Reminding us today is James, and I want to remind you, that even murder, adultery, favoritism, all things grieve the heart of God that are sin. All of those sins grieve the heart of God, regardless of what it is. And James is reminding his readers, even though you have not done things such as murder or adultery, favoritism is just as serious. And it has just the same amount of weight that grieves the heart of God as any other sin does. And ladies and gentlemen, favoritism, unfortunately, probably has kept more people out of the family of God than murder or adultery. It's just a fact. And we must do everything we can to repent of favoritism if we've done that and be as welcoming and as compassionate as we possibly can on others around us. Let's stand in a moment of response. Those of you here this morning that come in, we want to always make sure we present the gospel in a clear way. The great news about the gospel is there's no favoritism in the Lord Jesus. He died for the entire world, for those who would trust in Him. And the issue is that all of us have been infected by sin, and that every one of us need a Savior. And Jesus came to pay for that. He paid that remedy so that all you have to do is trust in Jesus and His payment and plead for His forgiveness. And He will grant it every time. If you want to join this church, I'll be down front. If you need to follow the Lord and Believer's Baptism, I'll be down front to meet you. Or just pray, I'll be down front. Let's pray. Father, thank You for this time. Thank You for Your Word. Father, thank You for the love that You show each and every one of us. And Father, I thank You that You have no favoritism whatsoever in Your heart. Father, I pray for anyone now who does not know You as Lord, that You'll convict their heart and they'll get it right this morning. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.